Notable elements in this year's International Film Festival, Whānau Marama, is the strong representation of Indigenous films and filmmakers, and one of them is an Australian documentary called Firestarter. Simon Morris returns with this story.
We did a show that was a hallmark in Australian contemporary dance.
And of course, at the core of it, there's these three beautiful brothers.
Stephen, the responsible one. David, the mischievous twinkle in his eye. And Russell, everything was about his body, about his spirit. Even when you say it, Three Brothers sounds like the beginning of a dreaming story.
In 1989, the Bangarra Dance Theatre was formed in Sydney. It was entirely made up of Indigenous Australians, Aboriginals and Torres Strait Islanders, and its impact was immeasurable. At its heart were three brothers, the Page Brothers, the Holy Trinity they were called, not entirely jokingly. The name Bangarra means to make fire, and the documentary that's about to show at the New Zealand International Film Festival is called Firestarter. It was directed by Wayne Blair, who I last spoke to 10 years ago when he launched his first film, The Delightful The Sapphires. So, hello again, Wayne.
Hey, Simon.
The Sapphires was a delightful musical comedy, and this is a brilliant documentary. I just wondered if there was a thread that ties these two stories together.
Yeah, well, you know, family. Bangarra Dance Theatre is a consistent family, and I suppose The Sapphires has that sense of family and a beautiful heart that's always there with us all, and compassion.
One of the first things that you're made aware of is just simply how much footage there is. I mean, virtually every part of the story, which takes place over a period of about 30 years, seems to have been filmed.
Definitely from the 80s. Like, when you've got this Super 8 footage from the 80s and the 90s, you know, just getting into that when they toured the world and, you know, being in places like Harlem, or being in London, you know, anywhere and everywhere. That was, like, unbelievable. And I suppose also personal footage from the Page family, Stephen Page's family.
Did it make your job easier or harder as a director to just have so much stuff that you had to wade through?
A little bit of both. Nell did a little bit more of that in the sense of just wading through stuff and just send me stuff and we'd have a look at it together then. But it was an arduous process. But gee whiz, when you were looking for something for story that just sort of felt right and just moulded into the overall arc of the story, it was like, you know, you were getting gifts. You know, we didn't get everything that we wanted. But I tell you what, the story started to direct itself once you'd have a look at the archival footage. I suppose that was the case more often than not.
You're talking about your co-director, Nell Minchin, who is a documentary director and has done a lot before. This, I think, is your first, isn't it? Have you done documentaries before?
No, not at all. This is my first. And, Nell's experienced in that field. So it was great. It was sort of, you know, she's a non-Indigenous female Western Australian. And I grew up in Queensland in Australia, and being Aboriginal, it was a really great compliment that we had. But also, like, we're two different, you know, documentary, and I was a bit more drama orientated in the sense of, you know, narrative drama. And then you sort of realise you possess it all, and you just have to have someone that's give you confidence to tell that story that type of way. So, yeah, we were a good compliment to each other.
One thing I do notice is just how dramatic and dramatically rich this story is. And it hinges on these three brothers, the Page brothers. Tell me about them.
Oh, they were, Stephen, Russell and David, a part of a larger group of the Page brothers and sisters, 9 or 10, I think. You know, and they started this dance company. One was a dancer, Russell. One was the sort of song man, music composer, David. And the choreographer was Stephen. And he became the artistic director 1 year later after the Bangarra started. So 1 year later in 1990, he was, I think he was 24 when he was the artistic director. And the three boys supportive of each other and were a part of that company, the nucleus of that company in the beginning. We joined with many other wonderful people, other black fellows from Australia. And with those three fellows and other mob, it was just, they were just Bangarra Dance Theatre, really.
Stephen talks about arriving in Sydney to learn how to dance, basically. I mean, it seemed a big gamble. He said, when I saw that mob, I was home. having been brought up just as a kid in Queensland,
yeah.
he suddenly arrived and was handed his life in a way.
Yeah, I mean, when you came to Sydney and at that time, I remember when I first came to Sydney around, you know, the predominantly Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, which is a suburb called Redfern, which is a little bit changed now as gentrification goes. But back in the day, you'd sort of go into places like Redfern or Glebe in the inner city of Sydney, and you'd see a lot more people of colour. And it was just like, oh, gee, thank happiness for that, you know. And I think anyone that went to that dance community in that Glebe Town Hall at St Mary's Church in Glebe and went there, and you walked into a small little church hall, and then you saw all these different blackfellas from all over Australia in the one place at the one time, all young people with a passion for dance and a passion for living, and coming to Sydney back in the 90s, way before the internet and Wi-Fi or the 80s, you got to be a certain type of person. And to see your own kind, and they just happen to be all other blackfellas, can you imagine it? Without being an adult yet, you were probably still a teenager and just coming into a place that you sort of, there's a natural affinity with everyone. Amazing.
I know Stephen talks quite a bit in the film about his family life and the fact that his family weren't particularly connected to their Aboriginal roots. You know, I think his father in particular was rather, he was one of the stolen generation, wasn't he? I mean, that was what they were coming from before they arrived in Sydney.
I think so, yeah. You know, Uncle Roy, you know, was part of that world and that stolen generation. You know, that has a big effect on your life. You know, I can only imagine. I suppose in being an urban Aboriginal, and I can sort of speak on this, and once you sort of start connecting or you go to, because you did, we knew who we were as young Aboriginal people, and we were connected with our culture in certain ways. But then as a teenager, where there's something more out there and you get an opportunity to connect in a different way, on a different medium, you like a sponge. People that were coming to Sydney, young Indigenous people from Australia were coming to Sydney at that time. So it's quite a political time in the late 80s and early 90s, and we sort of have a sense of that in the film Firestarter and what the geography of the place was like when these young people came to Sydney.
I think another thing that you get a real sense of is the fact that they arrived in Sydney and formed the Bangarra Dance Theatre at absolutely the right time, because suddenly it was a great awakening in a way of Aboriginal arts, about people who were involved in blending traditional with modern across a lot of different art forms, including film, I might add.
Yeah, you know, Bangarra Dance Theatre, that's what it's known for, that sort of traditional with contemporary, and the traditional so set in. It just effortlessly goes from a traditional sort of dance into something that's a little bit more modern, I suppose, and then just sort of effortlessly goes back into that traditional world. That's what they're known for. And I remember coming to Sydney in 98, 99, and I saw a Bangarra Dance Theatre show. And you just get inspired as a person in the world. You get inspired by what's possible. So sometimes their shows, they don't die wondering a Bangarra. They go for it. Just seeing these young people up on stage, these people up on stage just performing, because you've seen nothing like it before. So it's brilliant.
I must say that I found it fascinating watching the film from a New Zealand perspective, because I knew very little about any of this stuff. I don't think I'd heard of Bangarra. I do remember when Stephen Page organised this enormous opening ceremony in the 2000 Olympics. But just revisiting that was pretty astonishing. But there's some really dramatic moments throughout this story.
Yeah, that was one of those moments too where we got a couple of the people that shot all the behind the scenes at that time. We're going to make a film about the behind the scenes of the making of the opening of the ceremony. I'm not too sure if it actually happened, but we were able to obtain the rights of that footage. And to see what they did, just bringing all those countrymen from around Australia to be in Sydney for the first time. And Stephen says it in the documentary. These mob from Yirrkala or Torres Strait Islander, it's the first time they'd ever been to a city and seen the amount of white faces, I suppose, and other urban Indigenous people.
Mm.
So it was, United Nations in a sense, just being all for the one sort of common cause or the one common goal at that point. I think it was just, as I said, awe-inspiring. I wasn't there at the time, but I saw that opening ceremony. I remember it vividly. It was just like, oh, gee, it was so uplifting. It might be a small moment, and we know that there's a lot more social justice and economic justice to fight, But geez whiz, it goes a long way. You just get a snapshot in time and it's there for a little bit. And Cathy Freeman, our Indigenous famous 400-meter runner, runs the torch in and lights the cauldron as Muhammad Ali did. And you just go, wow, we all could be as one. And then the next day happens and you pick up the local paper and you realise, nah, it's not all like that. Anyway, you know what I mean.
I do. I know Stephen Page was saying that, and not just Stephen, but his brother David as well, was saying we use our art as a weapon. In the end, it's pointless just yelling in the streets. You've got to show people stuff. And that was the thing that made Bangarra so special. You know you've been to something when you see these things, and you've been to something different each time. The work is spectacular.
Yeah, I think, David is a big proponent of that. But, you know, that whole Bangarra dance company would be probably at the front of those marches and those rallies. But, sometimes you've got to go in through the front door and you've got to go in through the back door and, you know, the side door and the laundry door just to sort of get your point across. So, there's warriors in all camps.
I think in the end it is a story about one man. I said at the start that it's a story about three, and it is. It's the three brothers, obviously, but it's Stephen, and it's how everything came down to him pretty much all the time. He was the guy driving it. He was the guy on whose shoulders a lot rested. I mean, you'd actually worked with him before. He choreographed the Sapphires, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Stephen's a big part of Indigenous arts in this country and not mainstream arts in this country. They have a show, a co-pro show with the Sydney Theatre Company. It kicks off the Sydney Festival, our biggest festival in Australia. Mainstream festival in January, February. They're a big company now, but they still have the small funds. But Stephen's the spear point of all that. But Stephen would be the first to admit, though, you know, like when you've got all these young people, you've got these good, strong, smart young women and men and people of all kinds coming through those times, when you've got a good team around you, you have no choice but to forge forward and to create and to inspire and to educate, because no one else is going to do it, you know. And this group of team that sort of constantly changes there at Bangarra, I suppose, every 2, 3, 4 years as people go their own way. But I suppose the constant to the equation is Stephen Page, yeah, for the last 31, 32 years. But I tell you what, as I said, he's got great people around him too, you know. So that's the magic of that place.
I'm trying desperately not to give too much away about this story because there are some moments throughout it that absolutely floored me because I'd had no experience of it. But in Australia, I'm guessing that a lot of this stuff Australians know about.
I think you have to be reminded all the time. Like the way we get educated, I suppose, you do your ABCs every day, your times tables. And if you're always constantly reminded by it, that's how it sort of can stay landed in you, or if you're educated by it. And our education system is okay, but in schools and universities, we're only just starting to say that Indigenous knowledge, et cetera, is partaken, is we welcome it, you know? So we're still coming to terms with a lot of things. But I tell you what, that's why the power of this documentary, because it's sort of it's a reminder of what's been and what we still have to sort of fight against and to work with, you know. And I think there's a good message in it, in a sense of what you can in 90 minutes. But I tell you what, yeah, it's a start. This documentary doesn't answer everything, of course. It never does. No sort of film does. But it's a start, because I thought, this will be good for a Sydney Film Festival, or Melbourne, or, you know. But people responded well when it went national TV, and now for it to be in Auckland, I think, or Wellington, or
yes.
Both.
Well, it's in the international festival, and unfortunately, it's been cut off from Auckland, so Auckland's going to have to wait until it comes out in general release in some way. But I mean, I can't tell you how much I was knocked around by it. It was not only just a fascinating subject, which is why you would go to it, but it was so well done, and it was so dramatic, and it was so sad and so happy. It had everything.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like it was a culmination of a lot of things in the sense of all that archival footage. And I said Nell was a great collaborator, and just two people working on a piece like this, you felt like it was a really, really big piece because of 30 years and it being an Indigenous story as well, primarily. And we had two great editors, you know, we had a lot of editing time because of COVID as well. Karen Johnson started out with it, and then Nick Myers finished it. So it was a bit of a team effort all round in a sense. And Ivan Amani, the producer, was great. He's very experienced. I think that was, you know, Nell had made documentaries, but Ivan and In Films were documentary specialists. And I just came through and, you know, just sort of went, you know, because I had a connection with the company, I suppose, but, you know, had a sort of insight, and Nell had a sort of clean slate. So anyway, I don't know how it works. The stars are aligned and then you sort of work it out and it becomes a story that can really affect the individual. And hopefully that person can make some decisions that sort of can change the world.
And do you want to make some more documentaries after this, or are you done? You want to get back to drama?
Well, look, I'm working on the show Total Control. It's an ABC show. It's a drama that's 6-part, 1 hour. It's a political drama that I'm working on at the moment, and that's been really special. But documentary, I'm just going to sort of relax a little bit in documentaries. I think, you know, I've been sort of working for 20 years, I suppose, and I got brought up in the theatre, surviving on the smell of an oily rag.
Yeah.
And documentary is such a, I just go, I've got, the story's got to be right for me because I don't want to stuff it up. I just think it's, you know, you don't want to stuff up someone's life or a company's life or a particular element. So, yeah, I've just got to be a bit more confident. But Firestart is a good start, and, you know, to be surrounded by good people I think is good.
It's interesting times for Indigenous creatives around the world at the moment. I mean, Taika kicked the thing off by, you know, giving a heads up to all the Indigenous storytellers around the place when he picked up his Oscar. Since then, there's been a lot of stuff from around the world. I just find it fascinating.
Yeah, it's brilliant. All those First Nations stories from America, Canada, I just go, wow, you know, and I've watched some of them. And, like, even a show, like these web series shows in Australia and All My Friends Are Racist, a show, you know, the sharpest axe is ground on the hardest stone, you know.